privilege it is to be here. Praise the Lord. What a privilege it is that we can know God. Amen?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Wayne, I need one of those. I've got it, but I can't find it, so I'll just take one. Probably gave you the one of the mistakes on the package. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hi, Jim. Hey, Blake. How's Lifeguarding going? I see you flexing on a stand over there once in a while. I'm just kidding. Yeah. You get a lot of reminders how good it is to be wise, don't you? You get to see a lot of people over there. Amen. They should give you a BB gun, shouldn't they? You could just pluck them once in a while. Hallelujah. I was wanting to help from my yard, but, you know, I'm a man of mercy and grace, so we'll just let that be. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, it's my birthday. I can be crazy, right? No, I can any time. I will shout for joy and I will sing your praises, for you have ransomed me. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You have ransomed me. You know, we could forget that we're ransomed. Or it could become not such a big deal. You know, it's like, honey, what do you want for your birthday? Honey, I buy everything that I want. If there's anything that I want that's more than what I, you know, can buy, I don't want you to spend that much on me. So, you know, I mean, it's not that I'm happy to have a birthday, you know, but, you know, it's not, it doesn't seem like it's as important when you're 64 as when you're 6. You know, until I think about the fact that it is 64 when it might not have ever made 31. Hallelujah. You know, I mean, really, it's a gift. It was ransomed. Absolutely ransomed. And ransomed for no good reason. Just because I was blessed to get understanding that there was hope, you know, and I got to tell you about what you're doing for the jail, okay? This week, I felt there were some people I knew that I should visit, and sometimes when it's days to go over and visit, it's like I end up taking too long to get over there or whatever, and yet I know I need to get there, so sometimes it takes 2 days. It's the next day that I get over there, but, you know, But anyway, this day, usually when I do, it's like it's the day that I was supposed to be there. And so I got to see 4 out of the 5 people I went to see. And every one of them had a testimony of how God is doing what we're saying He will do. The first one, she was looking at a habitual, which means they just put you in and forget about you. And then 10 or 15 years later, they'll think about you unless somebody gets them to think about you first. I mean, so she's sitting there and she's got this kind of smug smile on her face. And they just offered her the first plea that she's had offered. Now, sometimes they give them pleas and pleas and pleas, you know, opportunities to sign their life away or whatever the case might be. But her first one has her at a pretty good position to maybe just have time served. And the whole time that she's been doing time served in jail, she's been growing in the Lord. And so it was miraculous. It was impossible. She was sharing the testimonies of how everybody in her pod, people that have been there lots of times, been through lots of deals, this is impossible. That you couldn't possibly get an offer like that. Not with your charges, not with your history, not with that. You couldn't possibly... But she did. And so then A next young gal comes in, and she's the daughter of another inmate who's in Kentucky, who will be getting out soon, who was supposed to be going in for life. And in fact, a local citizen, a young man I grew up with, dropped him as his attorney because he said he doesn't like to represent people who are going to get life. And he ended up getting 18 months, and so he'll be getting out soon. But his daughter, we had prayed for his daughter together in jail. Now she's saved. She was looking at many, many, many years, and now they're letting her out on a second party, which means her grandma said she could come home and live with her so she can take care of her own baby. So she's just grinning and crying, and I'm grinning and crying and saying, oh, God, you're so good. So then a young man comes in, and the young man is a young man who's just gone flipped out for Jesus, doesn't know anything except that God ransomed him. Then he shares his story. At age of 12, is the maid of their house, who was now watching the kids because the dad was deported, because the dad was part of a cartel, a drug cartel, sends him out to the trash to empty the trash, opens up the trash can, and his uncle's head is in the trash can. It had an effect on him. 2 years later, he was in juvenile in Montana at age 14. He was there for 4 years for second-degree murder. Gets out. He's out for about 5 months, and in those 5 months, he's running amok. Tries to shoot himself. Gun doesn't go off the first time. Gun doesn't go off the second time. He's got the gun under his chin the third time, and his little daughter says something to him. So his little daughter's in the room. He looks away, pulls the trigger, the gun goes off. Suddenly he decided that there was something better to life. Now let me tell you, this guy is 20 years old. He has 6 children by 4 different women. He's looking for Jesus. He's found Jesus. He can't help himself. The next guy comes in. This guy comes in and he says, "We had an opportunity to interact in chapel because he was busy asking questions." And I told him, I said, "If you have questions, listen. I need to get the word that God wants for all these other people out to them. I'll come visit you. Would you come visit me?" So I walk in. He says, "Look, I needed to see you." He said, "I've been coming to chapel." He said, "I didn't believe anything you said. I don't even know why I came to chapel, but I came to chapel." And then he became desperate and cried out to God. Now he says, "I just got to tell everybody. I don't know, man. It's really something. I just got to tell people about that God loves them." But his story was pretty much the same thing. Tried to kill himself 2 times. The gun didn't go off. The third time he got interrupted, realized he needed to change his life. He knew he was going to kill himself. He didn't change his life, so he goes in, he asks somebody to drive him to the jail so he can turn himself in, because he'd been doing a lot of other things. And all of these people have been ransomed and have been rewarded by God. It's a glorious thing. And it just reminds me of how blessed we are to be ransomed. And how important it is to maintain the main thing. You see, the main thing is loving God. The first and the greatest commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. That's the first and the foremost commandment. That's the maintaining the main thing. That is the thing. That's our biggest assignment. And there's a lot of other things that will try to distract us, or a lot of other things that we need. You know, we've got to accomplish this, or we've got to accomplish that, or we've got to do this. You know, I've got to do something for God. Yes, we do. Maintain the main thing. Love God. Because the Holy Spirit is shed abroad in our hearts, the love of God. or the love of God in our hearts will be shed abroad by the Holy Spirit. It's an overflow thing, but if we don't have the love of God, we got nothing to overflow. 25 years ago, I believe the Lord gave us a message about pump. You know, flow, don't pump. Out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And so the enemy says, here's what I'll do. I'll wear you out. I'll make you pump. I'll pump. I'll make you pump until you have a dry well, and then you'll just keep pumping. Pumping a dry well is like the dry heaves. Painful. And that's what happens oftentimes for Christians. It becomes a painful experience because they start being trapped into the thing of trying to decide if they are productive. But the most productive thing we can do is love God. And if we've loved God well, something's going to happen from it. See, the guy that didn't believe what I had to say but kept coming back finally decided, he said, I got to know why you love God so much. I've got to know how God makes you so happy. Why you're so happy and you keep saying it's God. Well, I guess I never thought about that. He makes me happy. He does. It doesn't matter. It does not matter what is going on. If I will think about Him, I will get happy. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the cares of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. I just think about the Lord. That's maintaining the main thing. You see, little children, they will remember that their safety is in mom and dad. And so God tells us to become as little children. And whenever we're like little children with little childlike faith, whenever something's wrong, we look to God. But sometimes we become like adolescents who don't need to listen to dad and mom until they have to listen to dad and mom. And so then we don't run to God. We work it out ourselves while telling ourselves that it's okay what we're doing. And sometimes we just become so mature that we don't need God at all because we've got it figured out. And we need to go back to being like little children. Something scares us. Something startles us. Something checks us. We run to God. Because we think about God. David said, I'll just shout for joy and sing your praises, for you have ransomed me. If you read that psalm, he had a lot of things to be thankful that he was ransomed from, because people were trying to destroy him. The end of the psalm, he says, you've crushed my enemies. We can't take too much rejoicing in that crushing of the enemy's part. But we can always take joy in His ransoming us. You have ransomed me. You saved me. You have forgiven me. And since you have forgiven me, I'm no longer a slave to the memories of what you had to forgive me for. I don't have to be tormented by anything. It doesn't buy, I don't think very many people lie about me anymore. But a lot of people used to lie about me a lot. And it bothered me until I realized that they were blessing me. And then I began to think, boy, I'd like to hear what they're saying now, you know, because every time it's like a bonus baby. Kind of had to find a mediocre ground there. But it doesn't matter what's true. If somebody said something true, I'd say, you're right. Can't argue with that. But it's gone. You're the only one that remembers it. God doesn't. Glad you brought it up. I just got something more to shout and thank God about. You know? But you might want to get over it, because it could be hard for you. But you know, to really get free from those things, you've got to leap out of those things. So I'll shout and sing for joy. He's ransomed me. You know, there is nobody. There's no, you know, I'm all the time reminding the people at the jail, look, there's none of us that have not messed up. And I tell them, it's the same way at our church. There's nobody that's not messed up. It just doesn't matter because he's ransomed us. And when that ransom thing is stirring in us, then we can just shout for joy. Folks, we shout about a lot of things, don't we? We should shout for joy. Because he's ransomed us. And since David said, I'll shout for joy, you know, maybe somebody says that they don't shout much. Time to start. Because I guarantee you, everybody shouted sometime. You know? Yep. Whether it's Bob hollering, Wonder Woman! I mean, Levon! Get over here! Or it's shouting at somebody that cuts us off in the highway or whatever. Yep. Had Jordan and Jenny were here, and so Jordan was learning to ride a motorcycle, and so Jenny was riding behind me, and we were over in the Rehills and going along, and I saw this truck on the side of the road, and I was kind of watching the truck because I hadn't remembered seeing the truck before, so I thought maybe it's a truck that might come out onto the highway. Actually, there's nobody sitting in the truck. Jenny taps me on the shoulder, and there's two deer running along beside us. I shouted, praise the Lord, because I didn't see them. If they'd have run out on the road, we'd have had a God encounter with the gold wings. But you see, we've always got something to rejoice about. If we are maintaining the main thing, and that's our love for God. Realizing that by maintaining our love for God, by stirring up our love for God, by whatever it takes to get our mind back on our love for God, then we're being built up in our most holy faith. And results just take place. When we're built up and we're maintaining that main thing, you know, we've got a peace when we shouldn't have peace. And so then somebody who's not peaceful wonders, how is it that you keep your peace? But if I'm not maintaining the main thing, I might not have any more peace than they do. And then guess what they do? Well, you're supposed to be a Christian. Well, I am a Christian, but you're right. I maybe need to be a better one. Thank you for reminding me. If you don't mind, I think I'll just shout and praise the Lord for a minute and get my engine started back up. I am so sorry I misrepresented the King of Kings. They'll say, oh, no, wait. Don't get carried away. Oh, no, now my engine's revved up. Just hang on. I'll be right back. We have opportunity after opportunity after opportunity on a daily basis to just be reminded, he ransomed me. There's no mountain too high, there's no valley too wide, there's no river too deep, there's no nothing that's great enough to overcome the love of God. It's just me forgetting about it. And so on a regular basis, we need to just be reminded that we're the main thing that we're maintaining. This gift that we have from God and our tank, you know, it's like I've spent a lot of time in my life watching my gas gauge. My own fault. Went past the wrong place, whatever the case might be. But I've spent a lot of time watching a gas gauge and looking for a place to fill. Thankfully, more times than not, I've gotten to get gas. One particular time, the last time that we pulled the trailer, the last time, we pulled it up the big hill out of Wasta, headed into Rapid, and man, oh man, that hill is ugly to pull a trailer on. And then we had the wind against us, and you could just watch the gas gauge. going the wrong way. And all of a sudden now I'm thinking, I thought we were okay. I mean, I could have filled the wall, but I thought we were okay. Made the top of the hill. Got a little downhill, but wow, I was getting, it was like, and there's this little place that calls itself the littlest biker bar in the world. Steve's? I don't remember the name of it. But whatever it is, anyway, we managed to get there. But when you go off of the interstate, when you go over the interstate, it's another hill. And we go, but we made the hill, and we rolled down in, and we got stopped, and poof, that was it. We were out of gas sitting at the pumps. One of those times when you open the gas cap and it goes, because it has sucked everything out of it that it could get out of it. And so, you know, that place is always there to remind me. And whenever I see that sign, I praise the Lord. We praise the Lord for that. Boy, oh boy, that was a great place because we got gas there. You know? Little things, but the littlest thing, it doesn't take much if we're maintaining the main thing to be excited about the goodness of God. Now, you would think after many times of watching my gas gauge that I'd never have to do that again, but that's not the case. Oftentimes, I'm still running myself short. But I try not to run myself quite as short. And every time we go up the hill outside of Wastow, we say, I'm so thankful I'm not pulling a trailer. And we pray for those people that are going up that hill, because we just know what it is to go up that hill. You know, we just need to become people who don't need much of an excuse to just give God praise. But that doesn't mean that sometimes I couldn't be distracted. The one time I was riding through storms on the motorcycle, all I was thinking about was making sure I got through the storms on the motorcycle. And so I probably went up on my motorcycle going past trucks, and I might not have even thought about that because I'm thinking, I need to beat this storm. Some guy had a map and showed me, and so I was trying to weave the thing, and I was glad sun burst through. It was a great time. Then I could praise the Lord. It's not how perfectly we do it, it's that we do it. Because the more that we do it, the more we're reminded to do it. And there's this thing, there's a resistance to doing it. Because the enemy comes to try to steal our victory. And so one way to steal our victory is to keep us from rejoicing and remembering that we have been ransomed. And to remind us, you know, things aren't so great, are they? No, but God is. We got to remember not to agree when the enemy says things aren't so great. Because if we agree, we start to declare the same thing. Things aren't so great. But with God, things are always great. Because God is always great. And so we can't make springs in the desert. We can't smooth rough roads. We can't straighten crooked roads. We can't remove mountains, but we know the one who can. And as we maintain the main thing, we get full of the same thing. And here's what can happen. We can be walking along in a desert and blooms will happen where we are. And things will just smooth out and things will just make sense. See, we've got to know that things can make sense. The one young man that said, you know, I came and I didn't believe anything you said. And I can remember him well. And I can remember him sitting there not believing anything I said. But I can remember speaking specifically to him on occasion, speaking a word to him saying, you know, you may not know why you come down here, but it's a miracle that you get here. And every time you come here, there's a seed being planted, and I keep coming back because I believe that those seeds will pop up because I don't depend on you. I depend on God. So then when you sit down and somebody tells you that basically what you've done was prophesied into their life, it's going to work, it's like, yeah, it's going to work. See, this is the confidence that we have to, I will tell you what, we have a hard time finding people to go to the jail to minister. And that bothered some people, and some guy was saying, I'm just going to force people to do it. And I said, you know what? We really don't want them to go there if they don't want to go there. Because every time somebody goes there that doesn't want to go there, I catch it from the people in the pods. This guy did this. This guy said that. This guy this. This guy that. I said, I'm sorry. Let's not worry about that guy. But you see, if they don't want to be there, they're not going to do anything that's worthwhile. But there's something about that being built up in God that wherever you are, you're okay. Hey, we all got places we would rather not be from time to time. We go places where maybe we would rather not go from time to time. But if we go with God, we're okay there. And this is the confidence we have that when we pray, we know He hears us. What does He hear more than anything? I'll just shout loudly unto God. I'll just praise the Lord. You know? We need to be like Clark Kent used to be, have to go find a telephone booth to change. Well, sometimes we need to go find a quiet place to change. Hallelujah! Better now. I bet there's days up at that school, Jennifer, where you wish that the administrative restroom was soundproof. Yeah. There may be days where it doesn't matter if it's soundproof. Let it all go, you know. But I mean, it doesn't take much. It just takes that remembering what we're maintaining, the main thing, and realizing that maintaining that main thing will fill us up. It will get us over. It will get us through. It will get us beyond. No matter what, I'm just going to praise the Lord. I read in somebody's devotional, and they were talking about a bunch of Christians that were taken captive, and they knew that these people were going to kill them, and so they were kind of arguing about who was going to die first. I'm the pastor, I'm going to die first. No, I'm older and I'm your elder, I'm going to die first. The pastor said, yes, but I'm ordained, and so I am the highest ranking pastor, I'm going to die first. And he did die first. But isn't that amazing to have that kind of faith in God that you know, it's like, it's not a big deal that we're going to die, but I'm going to die first. Isn't that what Jesus did for us? He said, I'm going to die first. He said, I'm going to die first. And he said, it's good for you that I'm going to go away. And he said, you're going to be sad, but then you're going to be happy. He said, I'm going to die first. But I'm going to die first, and then you don't have to die. The Father has never deserted me because I always do what pleases Him. No eye has seen nor ear has heard that what God has in store for those who love Him, maintaining our love for Him. The main thing, that's the main thing. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And the second one is a great one too. Love your neighbor as yourself. But how are you going to do the second one if you don't keep the first one maintained? You're not going to be able to. But if you keep the first one maintained, it will remind you to do the second one when you're having a hard time doing the second one. We have a neighbor with a barking dog. You better keep that first one maintained so that you don't become cynical about the neighbor with the barking dog. Right, honey? But, you know, just simple things like that. So simple, because if we don't maintain the main thing, then we fail at the lesser things. And whenever we fail at the lesser things, we forget the main thing. And we forget the main thing is that He doesn't forget us because we fail. Return to Me and I'll return to Me, to you. Draw near to Me, I'll draw near to you. We just got to keep this main thing going. If we can keep the main thing going, you'll be okay. Because I'm able to keep that which you commit to Me. And so as a Christian, the first thing we commit to Him is our heart, to love God. And whenever we commit that, and then we are committed to maintaining that, then everything else will fall into place. And if we have confidence that everything else will fall into place, if we maintain the main thing, then once we've maintained the main thing, we know the rest of it's going to fall into place. I got a feeling everything's going to be all right. He has promised us it will work out. And it's all just in that one thing, just maintaining the main thing. Well, we can do that. There's nothing else that we have to do, because everything else we will do, it will result from maintaining the main thing. It just will happen. And when it doesn't happen, we'll be reminded that we must have a leak in the main thing. And so then we join David and say, I'll just shout for joy and sing your praises. You've ransomed me. You've ransomed me from my own bad choices. You've ransomed me from my own failures. You've ransomed me from everything. You have ransomed me. I just got to get out of here. Sometimes we get ourselves in a place and we lock ourselves in and forget where the key is. But then we just need to be like Peter, where the angel comes in and unlocks the door for us. And we go out. And we can't beat ourselves up because we locked ourselves in a bad place. It happens. But we can get out anytime. Anytime. And all we have to do is be determined to get out. Jordan called me this morning and I asked him, they had a barbecue out in Rapid, and I said, how was it? He said, it was great, but I did get food poisoning. And it would seem that they had mushrooms for hors d'oeuvres, but the mushrooms, they determined that the mushrooms must have sat out too long. He ate too old of a mushroom. Well, I'm certain that I would have done the same thing. But he was fine this morning. Sometimes in our life, we might eat an old mushroom. Sometimes we might feel like life has been poisoned. Sometimes we might think it's getting old, you know? And Jeff's project, I can remember when we did the addition, that there came a point where I told Vicki, I said, I'm only going to do as much as I have to this summer because I want to like this place when I'm done. So summer came and I said, I'm going to put on at least one piece of sheetrock every day. And there were a couple times where I got out of bed, went downstairs after I'd already been to bed, threw one up against the wall, put one screw in it, there. But, I was going to have to live in a place I didn't want to hate it every time I woke up. And because of that, I look at it and I still sometimes think, how in the world did this get here? There was no shot of this happening. And that would be what some people would say about the young men who are now on fire for Jesus. There was no shot of that ever happening. And that was what many people said about me. There was no shot of that ever happening. And that would be what some people have said about you. There's no shot of that happening. Or they might wonder, well, what makes you think you're so special? And you say, I'm not special, but Jesus is. Because we may sometimes, from time to time, when we consider ourselves, get to thinking we're not special. And when you get to thinking that, you remember you were ransomed and you are so special. And you are so beautiful to God. You are so wonderful in His sight. And just be encouraged. You know, I am surrounded by the arms of the Father. I am surrounded by the arms of the Father. And you know, we need to focus on those things until it just breaks through into a place where we just can't be whipped on by that anymore. He was wounded for our transgression. He was flogged, man. You don't have to be flogged. He was bruised. He was crucified. He was pierced. He said, I'm dying first. And the Bible tells us to take great comfort in these facts. And in taking comfort in these facts, we're maintaining the main thing. God loves me. He loves me so much. And I understand and I love Him back. Sometimes you need to just do yourself a favor and have one of those conversations with God where you say, oh, I love you. And He says, I love you. And then you say, no, I love you more. And He says, no, I love you more. I know you do, God. I just like to have you say it. I know I can't love you more than you love me, but I just love you. I love you more each day. How about that, Lord? Okay, I'll take that, Roger. I just love you. Those are fun times. Should have them more often. You know, it's one of those things where you get together with people and you laugh until your stomach hurts, and then every time at the end of the day, I say, we need to do this more often. And then it doesn't happen again for a long time. But that's okay. Folks, just receive the love of God this morning in a new, pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing measure. Just go ahead and take it. And then together we will agree together, covenant together, to maintain the main thing. I have done weddings for people, and I always tell them that their annual checkup is, you know, are you loving each other more every day? I saw at Memorial Day, I saw Weston, Kuzer, and Kristen, and I asked them, I said, well, you guys need your annual checkup, and they were kind of, huh? I said, don't you remember? You promised me at that wedding that you would love each other more every day. Are you doing it? Oh, yeah. I said, okay, you pass. Go on with the day. We have such an amazing God. And we need to think on that. Whatsoever is just, whatsoever is right, whatsoever is praiseworthy, those things, think on these things. Whatever is good reports, think on these things. You know, God has a good report about every bad report we hear. God has reconstruction on every destruction that we know of. And when we wrap ourselves around that and we use that, you know, it's like the slush fund. It's like the money that we keep in a drawer for those emergency times or whatever. We've got to have that love with God that is right there to draw on. And this is what I believe David is doing. Look, I'm going to shout for joy and sing your praises because you've ransomed me. He ransomed us. It doesn't mean everything's going to be perfect after we're ransomed. It doesn't mean there's never going to be anything that comes against us. Doesn't mean that we're never going to have an opportunity to doubt or fear. It doesn't mean that those things aren't going to come. But he says, just here's how to take care of them. And do it. And set our hearts to do it. Not just think, you know, that would be a good idea. But just to flat do them. That young man, he said he specifically came because he didn't believe me and didn't even know why he bothered to come. He said, I was absolutely opposed to God. What am I doing in chapel? God wasn't opposed to you. He's looking for unlikely people to do unlikely things for. He's looking to rescue us. He's looking to strengthen us. He's looking to give us joy. He's looking for us to burst out with joy, to break out, the God of the breakthrough, to bang in, bang through to that next thing, that thing that you're being held back from, and you keep wondering if maybe it's not right, maybe I should, and then you wait and you lean and you wait and you lean, breakthrough. Amen? Oh Lord, we could sing of your love forever. We could declare great joy that you have ransomed us. And we will. We continually giving praise unto you. But for now, Lord, I just say thank you. Thank you for reminding me. Thank you for reminding us. Thank you for those who you produce results out of what trickles out of our lives. Thank you for all of your victories. Thank you for letting us, for those that, with the ones that we see and the ones that we don't see. Thank you, Lord, for the rain last night. Amen. Keep sending it, Lord. If it doesn't fix this year, it'll be good for us anyway. Let it rain. And more than anything, let the power of the Holy Spirit rain on us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.